Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
We are live from Our Savior Lutheran Church, downtown Port Huron. We're so glad that you tuned us in. We hope that the last week won't be a repeat. We're done with the snow. I sat down last night and personally talked to God to say, we're done with the snow, Lord. Send on the wonderful, nourishing rains and sunshine. Bring us back. We have a guest person with us today. I bet you won't recognize him. Stay tuned.
God reigns. Indeed, our God reigns. And he's given us during this Easter season a message that with repetition trickles down to our hearts to believe. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
You're listening to us in WPHM 1380 AM side. For 82 years, we've been bringing the good news and the worship of our Savior congregation to St. Clair County. Now, last 4 years, by virtue of a podcast, it's out by Monday or Tuesday by the radio station, and it'll be there for months and weeks and years so far. So you can get us on WPHM.net. If you're not going to be at a radio or a device, electronic device, in the next day or two, you'll be able to pick this service up, recommend it to your friends, download it for yourself, and to play it on your own devices after that. So we greet you from our Savior, Port Huron. And during this Lenten time, there is
Easter.
Easter.
Oh, yeah.
See, you can tell it's live.
No, it still feels like Lent out there. Okay. But that was a goof. So, thank you, Cheryl. We're in the Easter season, and because we are, we don't have a confession of sin. We have rather thanksgiving for the baptism Christ has provided us. We begin the liturgy. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are raised with Christ to a new life. So let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. So we do give you thanks, O God, for in the very beginning you created us in your image. You planted us in a well-watered garden. In the desert you promised pools of water for the parched. You gave us water from the rock. And when we did not know the way, you sent the Good Shepherd to lead us to still waters. At the cross, you watered us from Jesus' wounded side. And on this day, you showered us again with this water of life. We praise you for your salvation through water, for the water in this font, for all who water everywhere. Bathe us in your forgiveness, your grace, your love. Satisfy the desires and the thirsty, and give us the life that only you can give us. Do you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Entrance hymn is going to be played at this time. You'll love the pipe organ. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The hymn of praise for this day is, His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe, the hope of those who even doubt, may we who have not seen have faith in you and receive the fullness of Christ's blessing, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
We have the reading of God's word. Cheryl will provide the reading.
First reading comes from Acts, and there are selected verses. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it's impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of a resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is not a very long one, but it is Psalm 16. The antiphon is, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my good above all other.
All my delight is in the godly that are in the land, upon those who are noble among the people.
But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied.
I will not pour out drink offerings to such gods. Never take their names on my lips. In your presence there is fullness of joy.
O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot.
My boundaries enclose a pleasant land. Indeed, I have a rich inheritance.
I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night.
I have set the Lord always before me. Because God is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. In your presence there is fullness of joy.
My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope.
For you will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see the pit.
You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
In your presence there is fullness of joy.
Our second reading comes from 1 Peter, selected verses. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for our salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and inglorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The guest who is here with us, among us this morning, is Scott Pike, member of this congregation, and he will provide the reading of the text as well as his message for this day. Scott?
Gospel reading for today comes from the book of John, chapter 20, starting with verse 19. When it was evening of that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who's also called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We had seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my fingers in the mark of the nails and the hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which were not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God, and through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning. As PD said, those who don't recognize my voice, my name is Scott Pike. I am a lay minister in training. And for my family here at Our Savior Lutheran, I'm back. And to my friends at St. Paul's in Emily City, I thank you so much for the time of education, experience, and learning. And now I have a new second church family to call home. So let's get on with this morning's sermon. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to the second Sunday in Easter. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, your mission, should you accept it, is to receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you do not forgive them, then the sins are not forgiven. This mission is filled with great risk, but has the potential to change the world. Should you or your team be discovered, your Lord will never forget you or forsake you. This message will not self-destruct, but will survive through eternity. So friends, the question I pose to you at this time, is this a mission impossible? As I was preparing for this sermon, most people, as well as myself, I would suspect immediately are drawn to the story of Thomas and his doubts, especially his doubts of the resurrected Jesus. While the story of Thomas has a great many lessons to us, particularly in our struggle with faith as well as the acceptance of the gift of grace, but while reading this gospel, I began to see Christ educating and directing his disciples to their true purpose and the mission that was assigned to them. And this mission is assigned to all Christians. After the crucifixion, the disciples must have been beside themselves. If enduring and witnessing the brutal murder of their Savior wasn't enough, they're further shocked finding Jesus' body is missing. Even though prior to this, they've been told numerous times by Jesus, as well as the angel in the tomb, that he would rise again, so it shouldn't have been a surprise. But to make matters worse, they had to struggle with their own actions during this last week and after the crucifixion. They had to contend with things like Judas's betrayal, along with Peter's denial of Christ and other actions. The whole city has identified them as followers of Christ. They are clearly in fear of their own lives as well as possible imprisonment by the Roman authorities. They have found themselves a place to hide out in a second floor room where they're able to lock themselves in, ensuring no one could enter or leave the room without their knowledge. Let's try to picture this scene now. 10-11 scared men hiding in an ancient room. By today's standards, they would have been considered dimly lit. No heating, no air conditioning, probably hungry as well as being scared and tired. And I can imagine it probably didn't smell very well either. Now the conversation among them, that must have been pretty interesting in and of itself. I'm guessing they're discussing the events that took place, probably arguing amongst themselves about the differing ideas of what happened during the week and what happened to Christ's body. So in these uncomfortable, fearful, and unsanitary accommodations, all of a sudden, without any warning, Jesus Christ appears before them. Now, the reaction of the disciples is described in John and Luke. And in short, they're freaking out. They're not really sure what they're seeing. they're questioning whether or not they're seeing a ghost. The myriad of emotions they must be experiencing at this time has got to be more than they could probably stand. But Jesus has to take control of the situation. He has to tell them to chill out. He calms them by telling them, "Peace be with you." And in order to further prove his identity to them, he shows them the nail holes in his hands and feet, as well as the spear wound in his side. Jesus then begins to dine with the disciples. To me, this is a further demonstration by Jesus of his humanness, in that he does eat and drink. Could be that he was just hungry. It had been a really trying week. Now, this is where I really get intrigued. Christ doesn't waste any time explaining his miraculous appearance. He's already done this and explained this numerous times prior to his crucifixion. He simply calms him down with words of peace. In a very un-Jesus-like manner, he speaks directly to the point. It does not mince words. He lays out the mission for the disciples. He tells them, "Look, God sent me. I'm telling you that you have the authority to go in the world and act on my behalf. You are going to forgive people their sins. And if you don't do this, their sins are not going to be forgiven." Now, if you're someone like me who is a veteran and a career public servant, I recognize marching orders when they're given. Now, one thing we do know is Thomas wasn't present when Christ appeared. There's no mention of where he was or where he was going during this time. We still don't know. Maybe he was still trying to figure out where the hideout was. The one thing we do know is that when he did make his way to the room, the disciples, who were excited, began telling Thomas about what they had witnessed. Thomas, being a devout disciple, you know, he certainly wanted to believe what he's being told, but he finds it just too difficult, if not downright impossible. Could have been just a matter of he was terribly disappointed for missing the appearance of Christ. Now, even being witnesses to the miracles demonstrated by Jesus, the disciples still can't seem to comprehend his genuine rise from the dead. I find this strange, even though they witnessed Jesus bringing Lazarus back to life. Now, with Thomas missing from Jesus' first appearance before the disciples, the mission team is just not complete. Now, Jesus came back about a week later. He clearly is there for Thomas' sake. Thomas did tell the disciples. He'd require proof of Jesus' authenticity. He would need to see and touch the wounds. From Thomas' perspective, the sight of the living Jesus before him is a moment of great joy. But it was tempered with his personal shame at his own lack of faith. Even as Jesus offered his wounds to him, Thomas was made a part of this mission team. And the statement made by Christ prior to his leaving, at least this time, to me it seems to be a chastisement as well as an encouragement. Jesus tells him, "You believe because you've seen me, but blessed are those who have not seen me yet do believe." Now, to someone like Thomas, this statement may have cut him deeply to his core. At some point, they must come to the realization that the mission before them is to go out and teach and spread the gospel. They're going out into a world that's not particularly receptive to their message. More likely, it's hostile towards them and their mission. Now, I'd like you to take a minute, put yourselves into the shoes of the disciples, and think about it. To this point, they have seen the resurrected Jesus twice, except for Thomas. The lingering shock and joy they are wrestling with, not to mention the contrary emotions when Jesus leaves and disappears again. And in the midst of this emotional time, they realize that Christ has been preparing them to go out into the world without his leadership to tell the good news. Can you imagine the crushing weight of that responsibility? So our mission team, our disciples, have accepted this assignment. The reality of the risk and dangers that lie before them are things that Hollywood movies are made of. We know that in the end, this mission will end with the imprisonment and execution of all the disciples. Now the disciples have their mission orders. They are motivated to get to work, scared and nervous, but motivated nonetheless. And then Peter. Peter takes on a leadership role with the disciples. In today's reading in Acts 2, Luke recounts Peter speaking to the other 11 disciples. Now, when I hear this speech, I feel like I'm hearing either a coach motivating his team before the big game or a military commander preparing his troops to go into battle. Peter is extremely inspirational. He says, "Men, listen to me. You are all Christians. You have been a witness to the actions of our Lord. You have seen him crucified, resurrected, and returned from the dead. You know that there is no power that can contain Jesus Christ. We knew about this before it was going to happen. We are even told by David that no matter what, the Lord will always be with us." Now, I don't know about you, but about this time, listening to this, I'd be chanting, chest bumping, high-fiving, yelling, and ready to get out in the field and like, "Let's go, let's get some." So our mission team has now received their orders, instructions, and motivations. And they're ready to unleash the good news of Jesus Christ into the world. On this second Sunday of Easter, we have been through one amazing emotional roller coaster ride. We have celebrated our Lord's triumphant entrance into Jerusalem. We watched as the people rejoiced upon his arrival. We watched and listened in horror and disgust as those same people so quickly turned on our Lord, mocking him, beating him, denying him, betraying him, and chanting for his death. Then we had to watch our Lord and Savior executed in the most savage way by crucifixion, leaving us disgusted, ashamed, and in great mourning. While we are trying to come to terms with the activities of the prior week, we find out our Jesus is no longer in his tomb. Now we're suspicious, we're confused, and we're worried. We are then witness to the greatest miracle of all time, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are now in joy, exaltation, worship, and praise. Having come through this week and seen the mission laid out before our disciples and us, do we really see it as an impossible mission or an unrealistic, probable mission that must be taken on and continued for the sake of the world? We must use the lessons given to us to assess our own mission instructions. Are we prepared to receive our mission? If so, are we up to the challenge? Are we prepared to risk ourselves for the sake of the world who so desperately, especially now with the things going on around us, needs to hear the good news of the saving grace given to us by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? So I ask you, are you prepared to take on this mission? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
We thank you very much, Scott, for bringing us the word this day. Certainly contextual and certainly inspired by God. Thank you, Scott. Our hymn of the day is, "It Is Well With My Soul," given the conditions of the world and all the doomsayers out there. In spite of it, with Christ, we are not losers. It is well.
It is well.
Continues with our prayers. Our assisting minister, Hope, will lead us together.
We're not going to do the Apostles' Creed.
Oh, yes. We affirm together our faith. Thank you, Cheryl. In the words of the Creed of God's people for these 2,000 years, I believe in
God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And our prayers.
Uplifted by the promised hope of healing and resurrection, we join the people of God in all times and places in praying for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Open the doors we close, O God, when we fear those who worship you in different ways. Guide us to unity and harmony so that we may come to respect and cherish our communalities. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Open the paths we ignore, O God, when we prioritize financial gain and confidence over listening to the groaning of the earth. Inspire all to care for the world you have made so that living things might thrive. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Open the rooms we lock, O God, to those who live without homeland or place of safety. We pray for the generous nations, offer refuge and peace for all. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Open the hearts we close, O God, to the cries of those in pain. We pray for those isolated physically or emotionally through incarceration, addiction, mental illness, chronic suffering, grief, and all in need. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Open the ways of love, O God, in the pursuit of peace throughout the world, and bless the efforts of missionaries, healthcare professionals, activists for women and children, and relief workers, especially those who find themselves in harm's way. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Open the way of to eternal life, O God, as we remember those who have died in. Free us from fear and of death, that we embrace the peace you have promised. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
So with bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we do place all for whom we pray into your eternal care. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
So we pray the Lord's Prayer? Mm-hmm. We pray the Lord's Prayer, folks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
This time in the service, if we were gathered together, person to person, and we've been talking about it, some of the leadership, when that day may take place. It'll probably be mitigated by certain conditions that the health departments of the nation, the best minds, will give us to be safely gathered. Maybe every other pew or whatever else that might take. We'll always keep you informed whenever that day comes. But with the offering, I do commend to you, if you're a member or friend of our Savior, wish to support this radio broadcast ministry. It runs us $110 a week for this time and podcast slot. So if you'd like to make a donation of that sort to our Savior, we're 1029 6th Street, Port Huron, Michigan, 48060. If you're able to talk to your bank and make direct deposit for us here at our Savior, talk to your bank for the instrument to do that. Some people have been telling me they are having some difficulty with their particular bank available to do it. I think as last count, Marcia, our financial secretary, said we have 4 people who do direct deposits for our Savior. So we know it's possible and has been done for decades. So that's available too, or good old snail mail, send it to our Savior for the ongoing ministry. So when we come out of this blanket, we're able to come full speed with our ministry to the world. As Scott was saying, to preach Christ and the power of his salvation. So please think of us during this offering time. Along with it, Doug Cole and I were speaking this week, and he put it down for me. He said that we had 16 people who have made a gift for Easter lilies. And if we just clarify, our design was that if we exceeded the number of 30 for the cross of Easter lilies, all the money goes directly to the food depot. So, question, given this condition in the community and the financial crisis for many of our families, can those 16 people let loose of their money instead of asking for an $11 refund? Can we release them to the food depot? I hope the answer is affirmative. It's a gift we've given, and no strings attached, with the desire of helping people and glorifying God. So, please get back to us. Let me know if you were a donor, if you'd like to release the money, and we will follow through with your decision.
So how do we contact you, PD?
Oh, you can contact us by the church's phone and leaving a voicemail. You can contact us by a text to the church, by a fax to the church, by an email to the church, all kinds of things. So you've got our bulletin. Our email address is oursaviourph@gmail.com.
Remember, Savior is spelled with a U.
It is. That's why I take it. It's a real slow spelling. We're English at that point. saviourph@gmail.com. You can also go to oursaviourlutheran.com, to our website, and there you can leave a message saying how you are responding with the request about releasing your money to benefit the needy of this community with food that we all need. Okay? Thank you, Cheryl. Our service continues with our offertory hymn. Special services that we're doing, recording them live here at Our Savior on Sunday morning at 8:30, and then opening the field for people who are musicians in the congregation or relatives of congregation. And the Deterius gave us the hymn last week, He's Alive. This week, Brad contacted me yesterday afternoon, said, I'm going to try to get you a copy for Sunday service. So about 5 minutes to 7 p.m. last night, he made delivery, Pony Express. Nobody got out of the car. And I said, Brad, can you tell me how long that song is? He says, it's going to be 2 minutes and 58 seconds. He said, oh, aren't we punctual? And sure it was. Beautiful rendition. I want you to know that while it may be our final produced product for 2 minutes and 58 seconds, I'm sure it took every bit of 20 hours to get it ready. Getting the overlays, each thing, the instruments being separate tracks, getting it together with the vocal with Helen D. Terry. Oh, we thank you. And we understand how much it takes to make this gift to our Lord in the worship of God's people. Thank you very much, Helen, Brad, and all, and MS, the kids. Thank you very much. Okay, just also want to pen with the offering that the radio broadcast this day has been sponsored by our community sponsor. We also need to remind that no Sundays in April were signed up by the membership of this church. I'll pause on that because this is the lifeblood, this radio broadcast. So we need sponsorship, whether you pull together with a couple other people to make these broadcasts funded so that they can continue. Thank you very much for that. Okay, you may have the prayer.
Let us pray. Merciful God, our ordinary gifts seem small for such a celebration, but you make of them an abundance, just as you do with our lives. Feed us again at this table for service in your name, in the strength of the risen Christ.
Amen. And our sending hymn is...
Nope. Closing hymn.
That is the closing hymn. The sending hymn. It's whatever. The ELCA has to change everything. When we went to the Red Book 10 years ago, the new Lutheran book, they called it the sending hymn instead of the closing hymn. Yes, so thank you. It is the sending / closing hymn. How great thou art.
How great
Son and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.
Great is thy faith. Oh God, my.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Scott, amazing job. Love having you here. Part of God's family. Words of inspiration for the week. Hope, your time, your energy. Thank you. Edie, you fill in all the blanks. Fill us out. We like it. To the deteriorates, to the musically inclined. There's a reason why they give me a bell and don't give me a microphone to sing. We are thinking of our families, our church families, people of not only Michigan, but of the states, the world. We need God ever more now. Come, Lord Jesus, we're ready. Love you.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Join with all nations. see.